This special report is about Trump's mistake of getting us into the war with Iran. He did the bidding of Netanyahu. Actually, I think he fell right into Netanyahu's trap because Netanyahu doesn't mind sacrificing Trump. As I posted, I think Netanyahu led Trump to the slaughter, like a lamb to the slaughter. I'm not saying Trump is Christ-like, by the way, but as the metaphor goes, Trump was too trusting of Netanyahu. And now it looks like the Trump administration is going to be, you know, politically destroyed. It's going to be rendered useless, powerless politically, because of the disaster that is shaping up with this war with Iran. Now, Netanyahu doesn't care because Netanyahu sees Trump or any politician as disposable, because Israel owns the Democrats too. So if the Democrats win the next election, that's no concern for Netanyahu because he owns them too. They're all compromised. It's one giant uniparty, and, you know, Jeffrey Epstein has dirt on all of them. It's the Epstein administration, no matter who gets elected, you see? But Trump is throwing away his political future, and he's throwing away the viability of the GOP in the midterms. Because this is not Venezuela, and it's not a one-weekend war. This is going to be extended for weeks or even potentially months to come. Glenn Deason, who I interviewed before, and he's a really outstanding analyst. He's located in Europe. He says, quote, "This war will go down in history as one of America's greatest mistakes. This predictable disaster is what happens when objectivity is smeared and militarism is celebrated as patriotic." And sure enough, even when we got reports that 3 U.S. soldiers have been killed so far, and by the way, I suspect that number is probably 100 times higher already, but even then, we saw people on social media saying, we celebrate, they gave their lives for America. No, they didn't. They died for the Zionists. They died for Israel. You know, American blood for Israeli Zionists. I mean, that's literally what's happening right now. And Trump fell for it. He walked us right into this trap. He pulled the trigger. And it makes you wonder, what kind of leverage does the Epstein Zionist group, what do they have on Trump? Whatever it is, it must be significant, because he just went right along with it, even possibly even realizing that his own political reputation and memory would be completely obliterated by this. Trump is going to go down in history as one of the most disastrous presidents in the history of our constitutional republic. And it's only been 2 days of war so far, at least as I'm recording this, about 48 hours. So where does it go from here? Well, Trump wanted a short war because the U.S. military is really only configured for a short sort of shock and awe type of attack. The U.S. can launch a lot of missiles. The U.S. can, you know, launch a lot of aircraft and can do a lot of damage right now, you know, in the next few hours, or maybe over the next few days. But before long, the U.S. runs out of munitions, especially defensive munitions, as Iran launches incoming drones and missiles. And Iran has launched, maybe by this time, almost 1,000 missiles and drones in total that have hit, I think, 8 different Arab countries, plus Israel on top of that. The U.S. Fifth Fleet headquarters has been seriously damaged, partially destroyed. And the U.S. is going to run out of defensive munitions, such as the Patriot missile interceptors. I've seen some rough estimates trying to do the math on this right now, but it's still very rough. However, it appears that some significant portion, maybe 15% of all the interceptors that the U.S. has in its inventory in the region have been expended in just 2 days. Well, I mean, that's a rough estimate. We don't know for sure. But even if it's only 10%, what does that tell you? That the U.S. can only sit there and do this for maybe 20 days total. Maybe. It's probably less than that. The U.S. probably runs out of munitions in about 2 weeks. So if Iran keeps up the sustained launching of missiles and drones, then the U.S. is going to run up against a depletion of its own defensive munitions. And at some point, the U.S. Navy has to just turn tail and leave and go, you know, resupply somewhere else. And where do they have to go? You know, they can't go to the bases that are nearby because those are all under attack. So they'd have to go to maybe Diego Garcia. And I think the turnaround time to sail to Diego Garcia to the south and then rearm there and then sail back to the theater of war there, maybe if that's incredibly efficient with no problems, you could do that in maybe 9 or 10 days, possibly. I'm just guessing. But I don't think it's any faster than a week. There's no question about that. It's probably more like 9 or 10 days. So ships are going to have to start leaving within a couple of weeks if this war continues. And that means that this defensive shield offered by U.S. ships and carriers, etc., will be gone. And at that point, then U.S. bases will be just wide open targets, and Israel as well, because it won't be long before Israel, the Iron Dome, has run out of interceptor missiles as well. So it's very clear that Iran's strategy here is to simply stay alive and continue to fire something, low-cost drones, low-cost missiles, sort of clear out the old inventory, and make the U.S. and Israel waste their interceptors, and make the U.S. Bases in the region also use up all their interceptors. That's going to take, like I said, maybe roughly about 2 weeks. Let's say 10 days to 2 weeks, depending on the intensity of it. At that point, then everything changes. At that point, then it's in Iran's interest to start rolling out the heavy-duty missiles, the hypersonics and the ballistic missiles, and start hitting hard the larger warheads, the faster missiles, just larger payloads, which they have. They've got those. And that means that any ships that are in the area are going to be, well, sitting ducks at that point, once they've run out of munitions. So Iran wins by simply not being destroyed. The U.S. loses if it can't destroy Iran within about 2 weeks. The U.S. loses and has to leave. And that would be seen by the world as a victory for Iran. If the U.S. Navy turned tail and left without destroying Iran, that would be an Iranian victory. So the concern about what happens next, though, is that this goes nuclear. That's the concern. And it's based on the idea that, of course, Netanyahu is a lunatic, genocidal, mass murderer, and war criminal. And that he controls Trump. And that Trump is also turning into something of a lunatic at this point when it comes to the military. And the question is, will Trump or Netanyahu authorize nuclear weapons to be used against Iran? And it seems very likely, almost a certainty, that if this goes to, let's say, 2 more weeks, and if the U.S. and Israel are running out of interceptor munitions and their air defenses are just about depleted, then they will reach a point where they have nothing left to defend themselves other than offensive nuclear strikes against Iran. So the real danger in all of this is that, yes, that Israel would certainly be the first to strike Iran with nuclear weapons. Whether those would be cities or an attempt to destroy underground facilities, who knows? But given that it's Netanyahu and Israel, probably they would try to nuke cities to just destroy civilians, just mass murder, because, you know, Israel is a satanic, or at least it's run by satanic end times apocalyptic, you know, religious zealots. That's the most accurate way to say it. And they think that God has given them the right to literally kill and nuke anybody they want. So they won't think anything of it if they decide to just start nuking Iran. Well, if they do that, oh, and by the way, Hezbollah has also entered the war, and they have started launching missiles at Israel, okay? And Egypt is starting to look pretty nervous right now too. So there's a lot that's going on. So if Israel takes the lid off of the nuclear Pandora's box, then we're all in trouble, because at that point they've set the precedent for nuclear, nuclear exchange. At that point, then if Iran itself has nuclear weapons, which it may, it would deploy them. At that point, why wouldn't you, right? But more importantly, of course, Iran isn't the only country that has nukes. At that point, you have to start to wonder if Russia or China or even North Korea could start to get involved by nuking either Israel itself or nuking U.S. naval forces in the area. Because, you know, again, once Israel starts to nuke Iran, then that takes this to a whole different level of global fury and global panic, you might say, global reactions by other nations who might see that as a really critical situation that has to be stopped immediately. And the fastest way to stop violence in the Middle East might be seen by China or Russia as simply nuking Tel Aviv, nuking Israel with something very large, like a 10 megaton nuclear weapon or something, maybe 1 megaton. It really wouldn't take much because Israel's not that large. And there's a very real risk that that's where this is going, that the whole thing goes nuclear. And then at that point, you have to wonder, well, what would the United States do? With Trump at the helm, you probably don't have to wonder, because Trump has a big ego and Trump wants to be the biggest bully on the block. So at that point, Trump would almost certainly authorize retaliatory nuking of either Russia or China, depending on who launched the first nukes, if that were to happen. And then we have, then we have end of the world scenarios at that point, which is exactly what the Zionists want, because they think God's going to jump in and save them. They do. They believe that. Some of them want to drive us to exactly this scenario. That's how crazy they are. The thing is, God's not going to stop the nukes. And the nukes are going to potentially, they could kill billions of people over time and cause global famine. Obviously, a lot of radiation fallout, Mad Max scenarios in certain areas. You could see Iran destroyed. You could see Israel destroyed. You could see, global supply chains just completely shattered. And you could see U.S. cities getting nuked, as well as Chinese cities, possibly, or Russian cities, depending on how this goes. And this was all started by Netanyahu by assassinating the Ayatollah Khamenei. You see how it starts? Remember, World War I began with, right, one assassination. Of Archduke, what was it, Ferdinand? Was that his name? World War I? World War III might have already begun with the assassination of the Ayatollah Khamenei. And I don't see anyone pulling us back from the brink of that. If anything, Netanyahu is an accelerationist. Trump is just playing the role of the useful idiot puppet of Netanyahu. Iran is just trying to survive. Russia and China are probably hoping that this thing somehow de-escalates. That's why China is providing targeting information to Iran, to try to make Iran effective enough at defense that the U.S. has to back down. So the best that we can hope for right now is that the U.S. begs for peace. And it appears that that's already beginning to happen. Over the weekend, Trump already publicly said that Iran called him and is asking to negotiate. Well, almost certainly that's not how it happened. Almost certainly Trump, in a panic, told his people to reach out and beg Iran for some kind of a ceasefire because of how much damage Israel is taking and how ill-prepared the U.S. Navy is, etc. Reportedly, Iran has said, "No, thank you. We're done negotiating with you because you are a bad faith negotiator. Your only intention is to destroy our country." So there will be no negotiations for the foreseeable future. Trump is going to panic. He's watching his political future crumble. He's watching the GOP just get destroyed in terms of credibility. He's watching his support base realize what a liar he was when he campaigned as the peace president. And, you know, he and J.D. Vance were called the peace ticket. And now everybody's realizing that was just another lie. And there's all kinds of clips, video clips circulating of Trump, you know, on the campaign trail talking about how you can't vote for the Democrats. They'll get you into these crazy wars in the Middle East. I'm the peace president, you know, all a lie. So not only is Trump about to drag America into potentially a world war, he's also about to drag the GOP into the worst election defeat in memory in the upcoming midterms. The GOP is going to be decimated because Trump betrayed his entire MAGA base, you know, for one thing, among other issues. That's not going to go well. So what that means is that almost certainly now, 95% chance that Democrats take the House. There's also about a 60 or 65% chance presently that Democrats take the Senate. And you know what happens if they take the Senate? You know what happens? They end the filibuster rule almost immediately. And if they take the House, as soon as they are sworn in January, impeachment proceedings begin immediately. And the problem with this is that if Trump realizes that his political future is now utterly destroyed and he's going to drag the GOP into a massive defeat, that gives him an incentive to ramp up World War III as the cover story and then to declare, you know, to even sit back and allow America to be nuked, to have a U.S. city nuked so that he can declare a domestic emergency, cancel the elections, silence the independent media, throw people into the concentration camps who disagree with the Trump administration. Anything that it takes to keep himself active and alive, even if it means dragging us even deeper into World War III. That's what desperate despots do. And that seems to be the position where Trump is finding himself. So let me just paint the spectrum here of best case and worst case, okay? Best case scenario is that somehow cooler heads prevail here and Trump and Iran and Netanyahu all agree to come to the table and they negotiate a ceasefire and some kind of peace and this thing de-escalates within a couple of days. All right. I don't see that happening, but it's on the spectrum of possibilities. Worst case is pretty much what I've just outlined here. This thing goes nuclear. It escalates to World War III. We, in America, we have no elections. The Constitutional Republic is over. The Bill of Rights is declared null and void as Trump runs this country as a military dictator involved in a nuclear war that he helped start. And then we lose all our freedoms and all our rights as we get nuked. And the whole global supply chain falls apart and everybody suffers. And a couple of billion people starve, etc. So that's kind of the worst case of where this is going. Most likely will be somewhere between those two extreme points that I just described. Unfortunately, I have no way to know where. Where does this fall? How long does this war go on? How disrupted are global supply chains? How many people die? I'm not even talking about those in the war. I'm talking about the fallout, you know, the radiation fallout and the famine that follows. How many people will die over the next few years because of what Trump and Netanyahu decided to do? This was a war that they chose. They didn't have to do this. Trump didn't have to act like a tough guy. We're going to hit you harder than you've ever been hit before. He could have backed off and chosen something different. He could have chosen negotiations and diplomacy. Instead, he wanted to play Mr. Tough Guy, and so he walked us right into what could become World War III, where literally billions die. And if that's the case, you know, Trump and Netanyahu will go down in history as the failed Western leaders that led to the deaths of billions of people, far more than Adolf Hitler's 6 million claimed deaths. We're talking about, you know, potentially hundreds of times more could be killed in a global thermonuclear war. So that's where Trump is pushing us, along with the encouragement of people like Laura Loomer and Naomi Wolf and Mark Levin, you know, Ted Cruz. I mean, all these people that are pushing for war and cheering it on, they seemingly have no clue what they are begging for. Because I'm willing to bet those people are not that well prepared for a Mad Max scenario. They won't do well. Because it's easy for them to sit back, you know, in their comfortable homes or offices and say, oh, well, you know, soldiers should die over there for in that battle halfway around the world. Well, what happens when your power grid fails and a nuke hits your city and your food supply chain craters? What happens when you have no power, no food, no water, and your banking system is collapsing, huh? What then? Well, at that point, it's too late to regret calling for war. And that's why I encourage everybody listening to this to do everything you can to get prepared. Because this thing could go into World War III. Now, of course, my online store, healthrangerstore.com, has everything you need. Or, well, not everything, but lots of things. Storable food, lots of items for emergency medicine or personal care, even iodine, which will probably sell out as soon as this thing escalates, obviously. We've got Ranger buckets. We've got the number 10 cans, the long-term storable cans of freeze-dried fruits and vegetables and soup mixes and all kinds of things, almost all organic. Everything laboratory tested, heavily scrutinized for glyphosate and heavy metals, all of that. So check that out at healthrangerstore.com. You'll really appreciate that. If it's easier for you to remember, by the way, we also just launched Bright.shop. Bright.shop. It's essentially the same store, but that's the store that's going to be the preferred store for all the users of the Bright Answers and Bright Learn and Bright News, etc. So we just launched that Bright.shop. It's pretty much the same thing. I mean, it is. It's all the same products, actually. So you can shop there, either one. It's really the same product line. So check that out. In addition to that, this is a good time to check your storable supplies of medicine, ammunition, firearms, batteries, optics for your firearms. Even I'm behind schedule on that. I've been so busy vibe coding for a few months here, I've forgotten to keep up with the latest optics. I'm sure there's all kinds of new crazy stuff from Holosun, but I haven't kept up with it, so I'm probably behind on that too. They probably have infrared overlays with night vision and automatic, you know, indications. And stuff. I have no idea, but who knows? Holosun is a good brand. I'm not going to get into all that right now, but get yourself prepared. Gold and silver will probably spike because of this. They could be headed much, much higher, or obviously the more the Western monetary system begins to crater. If you want gold and silver, then I strongly recommend our sponsor, which it's Battalion Metals, co-founded by Tucker Carlson, who's a great American hero, by the way. I'm so thrilled to be working with a company that he co-founded. You can find them at metalswithmike.com. metalswithmike.com. Get physical gold and silver there if it's right for you, and they will deliver it to you. Insured, discreet, you know, guaranteed, all of it. So I can't tell you, don't take this as financial advice, by the way. I can't tell you exactly what's going to happen with gold and silver, but I would imagine it's going to be very volatile. Things are going to get pretty crazy. As I'm recording, gold is $5,356 and silver is $94 plus. So we'll see what happens when markets open in the U.S. on Monday. By the time you hear this, you'll be able to see. It's very likely that gold is going to go over $5,500 today. Silver might have a delay before it catches up, but probably by the end of the week, we'll see silver over $100 is my guess. But again, don't take that as financial advice because I'm not your financial advisor. But do everything you can to get prepared, be smart, be safe, and stay informed. You can follow me at brightvideos.com. Or my articles will be posted at naturalnews.com. And I've also got an interview with Michael Yan that's posting today at brightvideos.com. So check it out. And thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams. Take care.
Stock up on Health Ranger's nascent iodine, highly bioavailable, shelf-stable, non-GMO, and lab-tested for purity. A bug-out bag essential. Only at healthrangerstore.com.